A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Fear the Lord your God, and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments which I enjoin on you, and thus have a long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more, in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests. But the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than he,' and to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Perhaps you're not aware, but recently I spent like 10 days in quarantine, COVID quarantine. I was locked down in the basement and was sequestered from the world. And thankfully, lots of people brought me delicious food. But it was a time of blessing, actually, in many ways, because up to that point, Jesus had been just badgering me over and over and over in various ways, just nagging me and complaining and just bugging me to go down and spend more time with him in the chapel, in our rectory chapel, which happens to be in the basement where I was locked for 10 days. So the Lord made it happen. He brought me down there with him in the basement for 10 days. And thank God I had a lot of time for Eucharistic adoration, a lot of time to think, a lot of time to ponder about my vocation and about just my ministry and about the church and just about everything. And the Lord brought me there. He gave me the gift of that time to visit him and to be with him. And I think the thing that stuck out for me in that period of time of just being with God down in the basement of our rectory was that everything else falls away. Like everything. Nothing else remains except for the Lord. And it's so hard for us to see that sometimes. We like to grab onto everything else in this mad attempt to try to hold on to something and to think that, yes, this is our security. This is where we're going to be able to be controlling. This is how we're going to get through all of this. This is how we're not going to be confused. This is how we're not going to be just messed up. I'm going to grab onto all this other stuff. But all of that stuff goes away. It passes away. The world in its present form is passing away. And only Jesus remains. Literally, only the Lord. Only God. Only God remains. And so why do we always seem to not put him first? Why is that? Why do we try to hold on to everything else first? And then, if all of that stuff fails, which it does, God. Oh, thank God you're still here. He was there the whole time. So I learned that lesson pretty much every single day. I don't know about you guys. Like, I start over every single day. And that's probably a good thing in many ways, because the Lord keeps repeating over and over and over the same truth. I'm here and I remain. Jesus in the tabernacle remains. He's right there. Why can't we see it? Why can't we stake our life on that? Why can't we have faith in that in a real way that actually informs our daily life choices and all of our priorities? It's so hard to do that because the world presses in on us and says, don't care about this too much. You should keep it real. You should take it easy. Don't worry about anything. Hold on to all the other stuff. God, man, if God is even real, you can do that later when you get old, when it's your last resort. But the Lord is the one thing that remains. It is the one thing that remains. When nothing else makes sense, God is the only thing that makes sense. He's the only thing that remains. And so that is what we should see in these words that get repeated to us in both our first reading and in our gospel today, that the Shema prayer of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. The Lord alone remains. Everything else goes away. Everything else. And if we're not in him, then the jig is up. If we're not with him, then that's it. There is no hope. So whatever is going on in your life right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you need to hear this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. So if anyone has hurt you or has let you down, you need to hear this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. If you are feeling confused and lost, if you're struggling with your faith, if you're struggling to believe, to trust, if you're feeling scandalized by the sins and failures of people inside and out of the church, then you need to hear this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. If you're worried or anxious about what tomorrow will bring, if you always seem to be angry or bitter, if you are fed up with the world, with politics, with the news, if you're worried about what will happen on election day this week, if despair is ever close at hand for you, then you need to hear it repeated again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. If you're afraid you'll mess up, if you don't feel up to the task that God has in store for you, if you don't think you're strong enough to live out your vocation to marriage, or if you're not brave enough to respond to a call to the priesthood or religious life, then you need to hear this too. Again, the Lord our God is Lord alone. He alone remains. If your life is cluttered with a million and one sports and activities, all sorts of sentimental distractions of every kind, if you don't have time for prayer and no time for silence, if you have no time to get to confession, then you need to hear it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. If you think that you are holy enough already, if you think that you're religious enough already, if you think that you've given the Lord enough already, if you've loved God enough already, then you got to hear it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. God loves us enough to repeat that every day. He loves us enough to repeat that truth to us every single day. And that's if you read on in Deuteronomy 6, right after the Shema, that's what we are enjoined to do. Take to heart these words which I command you today. Keep repeating them to your children. Keep repeating them. That's what God's doing to us. We are his children, and he repeats these truths to us, that he alone is Lord. He's only one, and he alone remains, and he has chosen to remain in a unique way in the tabernacle. And we have to hear that over and over and over and over if it's going to get through our thick skulls. Recite them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them on your arm as a sign, and let them be as a pendant on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. If it takes that much work for us to be reminded over and over and over of this central truth of our faith, that God is one, that he alone is Lord, then we can't afford to keep hiding him or pretending that he's not the central fact. We have to claim that for ourselves and for our church. We have to be bold about that. We have to trust that he remains and that he lives in us. That's the Christian reality. God doesn't just remain somewhere out there in the esoteric space. He remains in us by our baptism, by our participation in the Eucharist. God is not only with us, he is remaining in us. And so that's why we have to repent of our sins and believe that God is God alone, that he remains, and that he is everything, even when we can't feel it.